Hare Krishna, everyone. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Balram Shakti Prabhuji to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 3rd chapter, 17th verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for joining and giving your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please take over the call, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you all very much for giving me this opportunity to share today's Bhagavat verse. So we'll start. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminite Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So thank you all very much for joining today's session. So today we will continue our discussion from the 6th canto, 3rd chapter, where Yamaraj is going to instruct the Yamadutas. He has already started instructing the Yamadutas. So this will be the conclusive chapter of Ajamil's section. So, okay. So we will chant the verse, read the translation and quote, and then see what we can learn from today's class, from today's verse. Okay. So we'll read the verse and the translation. Tasya atmatantrasya harerdishituhu. परस्य मायाधिपतेर महात्मनः प्रायेण दूता इह वै मनोहरास चरन्ति तद्रूप गुणस्वभावाः. सो ओके, सो हियर ट्रांसलेशन. द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड इज सेल्फ सफिशिएंट एंड फुल्ली इंडिपेंडेंट. ही इज द मास्टर ऑफ everyone and everything, including the illusory energy. He has his form, qualities and features, and similarly his order carriers, the Vaishnavas, who are very beautiful, possess bodily features, transcendental qualities and a transcendent nature almost like his. They always wander within this world with full independence. So this is Yamaraj when being questioned by the Yamadutas about who these people went to, who exactly is the Lord. So Yamaraj is answering that question. This is one of the verses that he speaks. Srila Prabhupada's purport. So Srila Prabhupada says that Yamaraj was describing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the supreme controller, but the order carriers of Yamaraj were very eager to know about the Vishnu Dutas who had defeated them in their encounter with Ajamil. Yamaraj therefore stated that the Vishnu Dutas resembled the supreme personality of Godhead in their bodily features, transcendental qualities, and nature. In other words, the Vishnu Dutas or Vaishnavas are almost as qualified as the Supreme Lord. Yamaraj informed the Vishnu Dutas that the Vishnu Dutas are no less powerful than Lord Vishnu. Since Vishnu is above Yamaraj, the Vishnu Dutas are above the Yamadutas. Persons protected by the Vishnu Dutas therefore cannot be touched by the Yamadutas. So this is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. So just one second. Okay. So now we will, in starting our discussion, we will quickly do a recap of what we have seen till now. I'm not going to take long for this, so that we have the context very clear when we are going to discuss today's. When we continue our discussion, the context is clear. Okay. So, in the beginning of the chapter, now Ajamil has been saved and the Yamadutas have been kicked away, kicked off by the Vishnu Dutas, and they are now very, very in a very disappointed mood. They actually have come to Yamaraj, and they have they are now going to ask Yamaraj questions. Okay, so the chat starts with Parikshit Maharaj asking Shukadeva Goswami. He says, "Oh, after the Yamadutas narrated what had happened, how did Yamaraj respond to his servants? Because for the first time, Yamaraj was hearing that his order has been thwarted, which has never happened. And definitely the Yamadutas must have expected that Yamaraj responded in a very angry way. But so they were expecting that. So Parikshit Maharaj wants to know, how did Yamaraj respond? Okay. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur says here, even though he was disrespected by the servants of Vishnu and his own servants, he did not become angry, but rather repented that he had not taught his servants about Vishnu. So even though the Vishnu Dutas had actually spoken very strongly against Yamaraj also, for not properly guiding his servants. In response, and now the Yamadutas are also spoken not so favorably against their own master Yamaraj. So, but Yamaraj was not at all angry. He rather repented that he actually should have taught proper lesson to his servants. So then, just give me one second. So then he said that Yamasya Devasya na danda bangaha kutaschanarshe shrutapurva asid yetan mune vrishchati loka samshayam nahitvadanya itime vinish. He says, there has never been a time before, as far as I know, that the punishment of Yama was avoided. Therefore, how could this happen? I have full faith that only you can answer this question. So can you please answer this question? So Shukadeva Goswami responds. He says that after their efforts were thwarted, the Yamadutas informed Yama about what had happened. And so the Yamadutas said, so basically the Yamadutas asked Yamaraj, Kati Santi Iha Shastaro Jiva Lokasya Vai Prabho Traividyam Kurvata Karma Falabi Vyakti Hetavaha. So they say, oh my dear master, oh Prabho, Kati Jiva Lokasya Shastaraha Iha Santi. In this world, how many controllers of Jivas are there? How many controllers are there? Pala abhivyakti hetavaha, who are responsible for giving the fruits of their actions. How many such controllers are there? We thought you are the only controller. So tell us, how many controllers are there? So, because, and here Srila Sanatana Goswami says, sorry, Srila Vishnu Chakra Thakur says that they were actually challenging Yamaraj. The Yamadutas were challenging Yamaraj because they were feeling very, very insulted. So they say that they were thinking, though we defeat all others in the world, we have suffered defeat from the four persons with four arms. No one has escaped our Yamapash, you know. But for the first time, four people have defeated us. So now we want to punish, and then we will bring Ajamil to hell. And they were thinking, if we cannot do so, we are just servants of a firefly. they were thinking. If we cannot bring Ajamil back, and if these four-armed people have defeated us, then Yamaraj is not a fit master to serve for us. They were like that. He is just like a firefly. So they thought that after this, we can no longer serve Yamaraj. They were thinking like this. So they were thinking, how many controllers are there? So if Yamaraj would say, oh, there are many controllers, then they say that if you have many controllers, there is a problem. Because if there are two controllers, two people who decide, punishment should be given or reward be given. If one of them decide, punishment should be given. If another decide, reward should be given, then who will give? Okay. So, if there is no acceptance, like in our case, if you say they are also controllers, we are also controllers. We say Ajamil should be punished. They say Ajamil should not be punished. So, if there are two controllers, so then who will bestow the reward? Who will bestow the punishment? So, if there is no common acceptance of what should be bestowed upon that person, then till clarity comes, nothing may be bestowed upon that person. He may deserve a reward, will not get the reward. He may deserve punishment, he will not get the punishment. So there will be problem in actually administering justice, right? And if both of them think he should be punished, what if both of them end up punishing that person? Then he will get double punishment. This is only if there are two controllers. If there are 100 controllers, and if all 100 of them think that he should be punished, and they don't have cross-communication between each other, then he will get punished 100 times for one mistake that he did. So, therefore, there is a problem. You never told about this. Are there multiple controllers? And then if you say, oh, there are multiple controllers, but not parallel controllers, I am one control, and there is a controller above me. If you say like that, then your being the control is just like yata mandalavartinam. Your controllership is only provincial. You say punish, but if the person above you say don't punish, then you don't have any power about it. Power about it. So your controllership is in reality no controllership only. So atastvam eko bhutanam sheshwaranam adishwarah shasta dandadaro nrinam shubha shubha vivechanah. So we are sure that you are the one controller and sure of all living beings, including the devatas. So you alone decide the happiness and distress of all human beings. But that's how we thought. But for the first time, the punishment that you have ordained has been thwarted by these four persons. So when we were bringing Ajamil to your Samyamaniri hell, those four people easily cut our ropes and release Ajamil. Okay, and your order was halted. So therefore, we are very, very disturbed, my dear master. So if you think that it is beneficial for us, we would really like to know who these four persons were. And also, we have asked questions about who is actually, who is the controller? We want to know this. And how is it that when Ajamil cried out Narayana, how is it that at the next moment they were there giving him solace, telling that please don't fear, we are there. Who were they? And how could they thwart your order? So this question was asked by the Yamadutas to Yamaraj. So Yamaraj at this point of time, he remembered Harehe Padambujam Smaran Swadutan Pratyaha Pritaha. He was very pleased to hear these questions from his servants, because for the first time in their mouth he had heard the word Narayana, the name Narayana. So स्वदूतान प्रत्याह ही रिप्लाइड टू हिज सर्वेंट्स हरे हे पादाम भुजम स्मरण वाइल रिमेंबरिंग द लोटस फीट ऑफ द लॉर्ड ही सो यमराज सेड परो मदन्यो जगतस्तस्तुषश्च ओतम प्रोतम पटवद्यत्र विश्वम यदम शतोस्य स्थिति जन्मनाश नस्योत वद्यस्य वशे च लोकः द नेक्स्ट 5-6 वर्सेस यमराज इज गोइंग टू डिस्कस दैट हाउ ही इज नॉट द सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर देयर इज अ सुप्रीम कंट्रोलर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अबव हिम ओके सो गतस्तस्तुतश्च there is a lord of all moving and non-moving beings paromaneha who is superior to me yad amshatah whose amsha engages in sthiti janasha so there is a lord above me whose amsha engages in creation maintenance and destruction of this material universe in whom the universe exists like a cloth interwoven with interwoven threads which means otam protam patavad otam protam so which means the supreme lord is the material cause and active cause of this universe material cause means like the clay being the cause of the pot and effective cause means the potter being the cause of the pot so the supreme lord is the material cause effective cause of this universe okay and by whom all people are controlled like oxen tied by the nose so when the oxen is tied by the nose oxen is completely controlled by that person so the supreme lord ties right then he says yo nama birvachi janam nidayam बध्नाति तंत्र्याम इव दाम बिर्गाः यस्मै बन्त इमे नाम कर्म निबंध बद्धश्च कितावहन्ति सो ही सेज एज वन टाइज अप पुल्स बाय अ रोप द लॉर्ड बाइंड्स पीपल द वर्ड्स ऑफ द वेदास एमिनेटिंग फ्रॉम हिम राइट सो हाउ डज द लॉर्ड बाइंड पीपल बाय द वेदास बिकॉज़ द वेदास गिव The living entities in this material world, the conditioned souls in this material world, have a false identity. What is their false identity? I am the enjoyer. You know, they think, you know, that is their false identity. And Lord, how does he bind them? Through the words of the Vedas, which say, okay, you are the enjoyer, but you are the enjoyer as a mana you are the enjoyer as a kshatriya you are the enjoyer as a vaishya you are the enjoyer as a shudra you are enjoyer as a brahmachari grihastha vanaprastha sanyasi like that so while the conditioned soul he has a false ego but he has a very fuzzy false ego okay he has a very fuzzy false ego by which you cannot bind that living entity in one sense. No. I am the enjoyer means he can do it. So the scriptures say, yes, you are the enjoyer, but you have a particular designation. You are the enjoyer as a brahmana, which means you can enjoy as a brahmana, provided you also perform the duties of a brahmana, the prescribed duties of a brahmana. The occupational duties of a brahmana and by that what happens the slowly the heart becomes cleansed of the false ego that you know I am the enjoyer mood goes away I am the enjoyer as a brahmana that also gets wiped away so therefore the lord binds the living entities especially the human beings in this world through the words of the Vedas in the sense by giving them very specific false ego and by giving that specific false ego he allows them to enjoy and at the same time you know they are given duties also And those duties purify those living entities like that. Okay. So then glorifying the Supreme Lord as in controller, Yamaraj says, actually, great personalities whom you know, like myself, Indra, Nirriti, Varuna, Chandra, Agni, Lord Shiva, Vayu, Lord Brahma, all of them, and the great sages, Bhrigu Muni, and all of them, even though they are freed from the influence of mode of passion and ignorance, but because they are still not yet purified of the mode of goodness, they can understand the plan of the Lord. They cannot understand the activities of the Lord because they are still with Maya. Then he says, just as, forms cannot know the I. Similarly, the living entity cannot know the Supreme Lord. You know, the point is, the effect cannot know the source. So the Lord is the source, the living entity is the effect. So the effect cannot know the source like that. So in this way, he says that the living entity cannot understand the Supreme Lord, his senses, mind, words, thoughts, etc. Finally, in the 17th verse, after talking about the Supreme Lord, he talks about his servants. These very attractive servants of the independent Supreme Lord who possess nature qualities and forms similar to the Supreme Lord, they move about in the material world. Like that, he starts discussing about who these devotees were, whom they saw, the four Vishnudutas. Okay, like that. So, this way, just give me 1 second, I'll just close the door and come. So that's what he says here, that so in this way he describes about the Supreme Lord, that I am not superior, I am not the ultimate controller, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate controller. Okay, so what we will do today is we will follow in the footsteps of Yamaraj. So Yamaraj is establishing the superiority of the Supreme Lord above him and all the demigods. So following in his footsteps, we will try to establish the superiority of Krishna above all the other avatars. So today, I mean, of course, it is not possible to do an exhaustive job on this. We are going to do a very small exercise, not that small. Whatever I can cover in that time, I have to cover. Of course, this is, so we are now currently going to discuss from the book Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So, the fifth chapter of Laghu Bhagavatamrita is the most pivotal chapter. There are 6 chapters Laghu Bhagavatamrita, but the fifth chapter is almost like 70% of the whole Laghu Bhagavatamrita is the fifth chapter, where the purpose of the chapter and the book is to establish how Krishna is Swabhagavan. On what basis we Gaudiya Vaishnavas actually worship Krishna as the absolute personality of Godhead, as the source of their source of all other avatars, even though some of the other sampradayas may not agree to this point. Okay, so just like now, the Yamadutas, they were thinking that, Yamaraj is the ultimate authority, at least when it comes to deciding who should be punished and who should not be punished. But Yamaraj is now telling, no, above me, there is the Supreme Personality of Deity. So now, similarly, the other sampradayas, they say Lord Narayana is the source of all incarnations, including Krishna. So now, but our acharyas, Srila, starting from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say that Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Tadda Vrindavanam. Okay. So that's what we say. But they say that Aradhyo Bhagavan Narayanaha Taddama Vaikunta, like that. So how do you reconcile? You know, according to them, Krishna is an avatara of Lord Narayana. But we say, no, actually Narayana is an expansion of Krishna. So how do you reconcile? On what basis they say, and on what basis we say what we want to say? Okay. So in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are generally two types of Vaishnava Sampradayas. One is called as Vicharatmika Sampradaya, and second type is Rasatmika Sampradaya. Okay. The Vicharatmika Sampradaya is where they involved in constantly debating with the opposing argumentators and establishing their superiority. Okay. So in that way, if you see, you know, not just with the Mayavadis, but also with Vaishnava Sampradayas also. For example, there is a lot of debate historically that has happened and that still happens between the Sri Vaishnavites and the Madhvites. Okay. So they debate with the Sri Vaishnavites also. There are lot of books that have been written by the Madhvites criticizing the Sri Vaishnava philosophy as being incomplete and incorrect. Incomplete at some places and incorrect at other places. And similarly, the Sri Vaishnavites have also written books. So this is Vicharatmika Sampradaya, where they are involved in a lot of discussions and refutations like that. But there are Sampradayas which are Rasatmika Sampradaya, where even though the Sampradaya itself is supported with very strong philosophical background, but the practitioners, because they enjoy a much more tangible satisfaction in the rasa of their exchange with the Supreme Lord, therefore they are not interested in having elaborate debates. So there are so therefore, if you see in our Sampradaya, even though Madhva Sampradaya, Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are many, many polemic works. Polemic works means books which have been written to refute other opposing Siddhantas. But in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, there are not many polemic books. You know, books which are written for the purpose of refuting other Siddhantas. But Laghu Bhagavatamrita is one such exception. It is exception. Even though primarily the book is written to nourish the faith of the our own practitioners, but it also acts as a tool for refuting the arguments actually of the Madhva Sri Vaishnava Sampradayas, who present Narayana as the topmost. So, especially in this fifth chapter, the first four chapters lay the foundation for the actual debates and arguments that is going to start in the fifth chapter. Okay. So, fifth chapter is the actual Laghu Bhagavatamrita. So, what the first four chapters, they actually lay the foundation for the actual book. So we are going to take a few arguments. Okay. The whole chapter is about 900 slides. Okay. In what we were discussing. Not going to go and discuss 900 slides, you know, but how systematically, you know, I just want to illustrate with a few examples how in our Sampradaya, actually, very beautifully, the Acharyas present the Purvapaksha argument. Because when heard that the other Sampradayas say that Narayana is the source of Krishna. So, but that is not the argument. There are many, many other arguments. variegated forms of arguments we present, and how our sampradaya understands and explains those verses and still establish Krishna to be Swayam Bhagavan. We are going to see a glimpse. I am not going to exhaustively do this exercise. We do not have time. So whatever we can complete, we will complete. Even in the 100 odd slides that I have put, about 150 odd slides, I may not cover all because we may not have time for that. So whatever we can complete, we will try to complete. Okay. So first thing, so the first challenge that comes is Krishna is an avatar of the brother of Nara. You know, the Naranarayan are there. So they say that Arjuna is an avatar of Nara and Krishna is an avatar of Narayana. Or some others say, no, Krishna is an avatar of Vamanadev. So they don't even ascribe superiority of Krishna to the avatars. So they say that Krishna is an expansion of the Narayana of Naranarayan, or he is an expansion of Vamanadev. They say like that. So now, on what basis they say like this? They must have some proof for it, right? What is their proof? Okay. So Srila Rupa Goswami says, Atha Krishna Narabratur Avatara Iti Kvachit. Upendrasya Iti Chakwapi Bhati Asau Na Ati Kovidam. So he says, Atha Kvachit. Some people say Krishna Narabratur Avatara Iti. They say that Krishna is the avatara of Naranarayan Rishi, or Narayana of Naranarayan Rishi. Upendrasya Iti Cha Kwapi. And some others say, oh, he is an avatar of Upendra. Upendra is Vamanadev. Asau Bhati Na Ati Kovidam. But this conclusion is reached by those who are not very knowledgeable in the conclusions of the scriptures. That's what he says. So now, on what is they say this? Okay. So in the beginning of this, Srila Baldev Vidya Bhushan has written a commentary to this Laghu Bhagavata Amrita. He says, the author has shown that Krishna is the Swayam Rupa and Narayana are his Vilas forms. So he has just mentioned it, but he has not given very concrete proofs in the previous chapters. That is why the other people, they give very arguments. However, adherents of Vishnu cannot tolerate this and present arguments against it. So basically, this whole chapter is basically presenting arguments against the conclusions of other Vaishnava who established Narayana to be the Supreme. So here basically Rupa Goswami will explain on what basis they make these arguments and how those arguments are actually not perfect arguments. Okay. So he says, the author presents those arguments and he is going to defeat those arguments. So some say that Krishna is an avatar of the brother of Nara, the avatar of the Lord of Badri Narayan. Okay. So now let us see this. So the Purva Paksha proves for Krishna being an avatar of Narayan, because when they are saying, so here Narayana means Narayana of Naranarayan, not the Paravyoma Narayan. Not the Narayana of Vaikuntha. So when they are saying this, there must be some reason to this. There must be some proof to this. Otherwise, without proof, how they will say that Krishna is an avatar of Naranarayan Rishi. Okay. So in Skanda Puran, there is a verse like this. Yata Skande. Dharma Putra Hare Ramshau Naranarayana Vidau Chandra Vamsham Anuprapya Jatau Krishna Arjunau Ubhau. So Skanda Puran says, Harer Amshau, the portions of Lord Hari, Nara Narayana Abhidau, portions of the Lord Nara and Narayana, who were Dharma Putra, the sons of King Dharma, Chandra Vamsham Anuprapya Jatau Krishna Arjunau Ubhau. They say, the Nara and Narayana accepted birth in the dynasty of the moon and became Krishna and Arjuna, which means Krishna is the avatar of Narayana. Because Narayana became Krishna. Right? So, therefore, so they quote this verse to say that, look, Krishna is the avatar of Naranarayan Rishi. And not only that, in Bhagavatam also there is a similar verse. In the fourth canto, it says, Tau imau vai bhagavato harer amshav ihagatav bharav jayaya cha bhuvaha krishnau yadu kurudvahav. So he says, Tau imau vai, that Naranarayan Rishi, bhagavato harer amshav, who is a partial expansion of Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, ihagatav has now appeared on earth Yadu Kuru Dvahav, in the Yadu and the Kuru dynasty, as Krishnau. Krishnau means two Krishnas. Krishna is also Krishna, and Arjuna is also sometimes called as Krishna. Krishnau Astri Gandivam Chapam Suhrit Krishna Stato Vipat, as Bhishma Dev tells Yudhishthir Maharaj. So there, in that verse, actually Arjuna is also addressed as Krishna. Okay. So Arjuna is addressed as Krishna. Draupadi is Krishna. And Krishna is Krishna, right? So he says that so the fourth canto verse says Naranarayan Rishi appeared in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru as Krishna and Arjuna to reduce the burden of this world. So these are two sample proofs that are given by Srila Rupa Goswami to say what is the basis of their argument. There is a basis of this argument, and this is the basis. They quote this verse from the Skanda Puran. They quote this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the proof for their telling that Krishna is an avatar of Vamana Dev? Okay. There is a verse from the Harivamsha Puran. Okay. So Harivamsha Puran says that in Harivamsha Puran, Indra speaks. Shakra Vachane. Shakra is Indra. So Indra says, Aindram Vaishnavam Asyaiva Mune Bhagam Aham Dadau Yaviyamsam Aham Premna Krishnam Pashyami Narada. So this verse is spoken in the context of Krishna taking the Parijata tree from Swarga. Swarada Muni, Indra is speaking to Narada Muni, justifying his act of trying to fight with Krishna. So Indra says that yat chakra vachane harivamshe upendra avataratvam. So in Indra speaks in Harivamsha of Krishna being an avatar of Vamana. He does not directly say this, but he says something which can be misconstrued as suggesting that Krishna is an avatar of Vamana Dev. So what Indra says, he says, O Mune, O Narada Muni, Aham Dadau, I gave Asyaiva Bhagam, I gave the share of sacrifice Aindram Vaishnavam, previously to Vishnu. I gave the share of sacrifice previously to Vishnu. O Narada, Aham Premna Pashyami Krishnam Yaviyamsam. Now I am seeing Krishna as my younger brother Vamana. So this is suggesting that I am seeing Krishna as my younger brother Vamana, meaning that unko maaf kar diya maine, I have forgiven him because I am seeing that he is my younger brother, which might seemingly suggest that Krishna is an expansion of Vamana Dev, because the younger brother of Indra is Vamana Dev. So Indra is suggesting that I will not do anything to him because he is my younger brother. Indicating that he might be an expansion of Vamana Dev, like that. So this might suggest, okay. So this statement of Indra concerning the Parijata, this is a statement of Indra concerning the Parijata incident. I have given that portion of sacrifice made by me to Krishna. As a great favor I have given. I do not hate him, even though he has acted against me. How did he act against me? He came to Swarga and he has taken the Parijata tree. So he has against me. But I do not hate him. Why? Because out of love, I see Krishna as Vamana, as a younger brother. Because the Parijata is a heavenly tree, I should not give it to him because he resides on the earth planet. So that's why Indra becomes angry. Okay. He says, oh, he is my younger brother. So indicating that, oh, maybe Indra is suggesting that Krishna is an expansion of Vamana, as an avatar of Vamana. So we saw two verses, one from Skanda Puran and one from Bhagavatam, indicating that Krishna is an avatar of Naranarayan Rishi. And we saw another verse indicating from the Harivamsha Puran, which seemingly suggests that Krishna is an avatar of Vamanadev. Okay. So now, so based on this, very rightly, the other opponents say, oh, Krishna is just an avatar of Vamana or Naranarayan Rishi. So now, our Rupa Goswami says, okay, let us evaluate these statements. He says, tad etad ubayatvam na bhavet krishne virodatah. Atatvam hi tayoruktam paravastatvam asyatu. So, Rupa Goswami says, virodatah. This is contradictory. To say, krishne tad etad ubayatvam. To say that Krishna is an expansion of either Naranarayan Rishi or Vamana is contradictory. Because we have already proved, uktam, it has already been stated that tayor amshatvam hi, because Narayana and Vamana are expansions of Krishna. Of course, this has been mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the previous chapters as an axiom. But very clear proofs have not yet been established by Srila Rupa Goswami yet. Asya paravastatvam, that he is superior to all the other avatars, has already been stated. It has been stated, but it has not been very conclusively proved. Now that here is proof by the Purva Paksha, they say, hey, how can you say that Krishna is superior to the other avatars? It is very clear from verses that he is an avatar of Naranarayana. And from these verses, it is very clear that he is an avatar of Vamana. So Rupa Goswami says, look, we have already seen Krishna is superior to them. So he says, Narabhratur iham shattvam ete chamcheti vakshate upendrasya tadatvam cha harivamshe pidrishyate. So he says that whatever statements you have quoted, but we have already seen, right? Ete cha amsha kala pumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. From that verse, isn't it very clear that Narayana of Naranarayana and Vamana are actually portions of Krishna? So isn't it clear? So he says that this is quoted in Harivamsha Puran also. So where Narada Muni speaks, he says, Aditya tapasa Vishnur Mahatmaradita Pura Varena Chandita Tena Paritushtena Cha Adithihi Tayokta Stvadrisham Putram Ichami Iti Surottama. So he says, previously Aditi performed the penance to worship Vishnu. Vishnu was very satisfied and he said, please ask for a boon. And Aditi said, I wish to have a son like the Supreme Lord. Okay. And Vishnu said, oh, there is no one on earth who is equal to me. I will become your son. Aham eva kalu te putraha bhavishyami amshena. He says, I will become your son as an amsha, which means my amsha will become your son. And that is Vamana. Okay. That is Vamana. So therefore, the statement that Narada, So the verse that Krishna is a expansion or an avatar of Vamana is from Harivamsha Puran. Indra speaking to Narada. And in that same Harivamsha Puran, Narada speaks this verse, which very clearly states where Vishnu says that, or Krishna says, I will become your son Vamana, indicating my Amsha will become your son Vamana, which indicates that that actually it is not true that Krishna is an of Vamana, but it should be the other way around. He says the statement of Narada being stronger than the previous statement of Indra defeats the truth of the previous statement that Krishna is an expansion of Vamana. So he says between the statements of Krishna, between the statements of Narada Muni and Indra, Indra says, Indra's statement seemingly suggests that Krishna is an avatar of Vamana, and Narada Muni indicates that no, it is the other way around. So he says, Srila Rupa Goswami says, of the two statements, Narada Muni's statement is more powerful than Indra's statement. Why? We are going to see that. Okay. So he says, Ata Krishna Paravasta Bhavo Agre Vakshate Sputam. Paravastascha Sampurna Avastaha Shastre Prakirtitaha. Tasmad Amshatvam Eva Asya Viruddham Sputam Ikshate. So he says, the supreme position of Krishna will be explained later. His Paravasta nature. Paravasta means of all the avatars, he is superior. That is the meaning of Paravasta. Okay. So that supreme position and perfect position is glorified in the scriptures. Thus, because Krishna is Paravasta, it is clearly seen that Krishna being an Amsha of Narayana or Vamana is contradictory. So he is going to establish the Paravasta nature of Krishna little later. So one argument that Srila Rupa Goswami is telling that, look, just wait for a while. I will establish the Paravasta nature of Krishna in a short while. After that, it will be very clear that Krishna cannot be an Amsha of Vamana, Naranarayan Rishi, because Vamana and Naranarayan are ordinary Leela avataras, whereas Krishna is Paravasta avatara. You know, he is Paravasta, he is supermost. So a Paravasta form cannot be an Amsha of an ordinary avatara. So Vamana and Naranarayana are ordinary avataras, whereas Krishna is Paravasta. And how he is Paravasta, I am going to establish it little later. Just wait. That's what here. That is the argument Srila Rupa Goswami is giving. Okay. So now, take hai. If you say like this, we can agree. But there is a problem. If the conclusions are so clear, then how would you explain the statement establishing Krishna to be an expansion of Narayana and Vamana? Still, we have quoted one verse from Skanda Puran, one verse from Bhagavatam, establishing Krishna to be an Amsha of Naranarayan, and one verse from Harivamsa Puran, where Indra says, okay, you may that Narada Muni's word is superior to Indra's word, but still, why is Indra speaking like this? Why is Bhagavatam speaking like this? So why is Skanda Puran speaking like this? How would you explain? You have to give reasonable explanation, right? Because this is clearly contradictory. You say that, no, Krishna is Paravasta. Krishna cannot be an Amsha of Naranarayan. Okay, accept it. Then how would you explain these verses? Because these verses clearly say that that Narayana is the that Krishna is the avatar of Narayana, Krishna is the avatar of Vamana. How would you explain this? So he says, Arthagati Antaram Tesham Vachananam Cha Drishyate. So he says, Arthagati Antaram, the alternative sense Tesham Vachananam of these statements, cha drishyate. He says, look, you quoted the verse, you gave an explanation, but are you sure that that is the only meaning that you can give to that particular statement? Have you thought if there could be alternative explanations of those same verses. He says, though there are many statements to show that Krishna is Paravastha, the author gives an alternative meaning to these verses quoted above in order to negate the apparent meaning of these verses. You may say, look, there are 100 verses which say Krishna is superior. But there are 3 verses which say Krishna is an avatar of Naranarayana or Vamana. So you may say 100 statements outweigh the 3 statements. But our thing is, those 3 statements are also from Shastra. Why these 3 statements are contradicting? That you have to explain. So Rupa Goswami says they are not contradicting. Just that you have taken the wrong meaning of that. You have taken the wrong meaning of that verse. So now, what was the first Purvapaksha argument? He says that the first was that second verse, which was from Skanda Puran, which said, portions of the Lord Nara and Narayana, the sons of King Dharma, accepted birth in the dynasty of the moon and became Krishna and Arjuna. Right? Hare Ramshav Naranarayana Vidav Dharma Putrav Chandra Vamsham Anuprapya Jatav Krishna Arjunav Ubhav. So, Nara and Narayana accepted birth in the Chandra Vamsha and came Krishna and Arjuna. Very clear. So therefore, this verse very clearly says that Krishna is an expansion of Narayana Rishi. So refuting this, he says there is an alternate explanation for this. He says, Naranarayano prapyeti Atma Satkritya Tau Swayam Krishnarjuna Chandravamsham Anuprakatatam Gatav. So he says, on the first statement, there is this explanatory verse, Karika. Krishna Arjuna Naranarayano prapyeti Atma Satkritya. Atma Kritya means to merge. Then Krishna and Arjuna merging the identities of Naranarayana in themselves appeared Tau Swayam Chandravamsham Anuprakatatam Gatav. So Krishna is Amshi, Arjuna is the Amshi. So Narayana, the Amsha, merged with Krishna, the Amshi. And Nara, the Amsha, merged into Arjuna, the Amshi. So Krishna and Arjuna, the Amshi, they entered the moon dynasty and they took birth there. So therefore, Naranarayana took birth in the Chandra Vamsha as Krishna and Arjuna means the forms of Nara and Narayana being the Amshas of Krishna and Arjuna merged into the Amshi Krishna and Arjuna. And then Krishna took birth in the moon dynasty. That is the understanding. This is also the understanding. So this is the right understanding, right? So that is the explanation. So he says, Naranarayana became one with Krishna and Arjuna. Because there should be no fault of contradiction in the Puranas, the alternative meaning is more suitable. So he says, because 100 verses very clearly establish the superiority of the superiority of Krishna over Naranarayana Rishi. Therefore, this verse should be explained in such a way that those other 100 statements are not refuted. So how would you explain? So one meaning is Naranarayana manifested as Krishna and Arjuna, but another understanding is Naranarayana being the Amshas merged into the Amshi Krishna and Arjuna who appeared in the Chandra Vamsha. So this is perfect. Thus, the meaning is Krishna and Arjuna who united with the forms of Naranarayana then appeared on earth through the moon dynasty. That is because when Krishna appears, all of his Amshas enter him and appear with him. This is very clear in Bhagavatam and our Acharyas very clearly mention it. when the Amshi descends, all the other Amshas also merge into his body and also descend along with him. Okay. So this is the refutation of the second verse. Okay. Now, how do you refute the third verse, Bhagavatam verse? What does that Bhagavatam verse say? Bhagavatam verse says that that Naranarayan Rishi, who is a partial expansion of Shirodhaka Sai, has now appeared on earth in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna respectively. So similar verse, same explanation. So that Naranarayan Rishi has appeared in the form of Krishna and Arjuna means that Naranarayan Rishi have merged into the forms of Krishna and Arjuna and appeared in the moon dynasty. Okay, like that, are the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru. So here he says, the second verse can be explained as follows. Okay. So he says, Tau Naranarayanau Kartarau Harer Amshau Ayatau Now Dwaparante. Naranarayana, the expansions of Vishnu, entered Krishna and Arjuna at the end of Dwapara Yuga. So in Dwapara Yuga, towards the end of Dwapara Yuga, the Naranarayan forms into Krishna's form when it was time for Krishna to appear. Okay, so that is how it is refuted. Now, how do you, so in this way, the verse itself is not wrong, but the meaning that you have derived out of that verse is wrong. Okay, so that does not suggest that Krishna is an avatar of Naranarayan Rishi. So now, how would you explain Indra speaking that I gave my share to Krishna, who's my brother, suggesting that Krishna is an expansion of Vamanadev. You know, how do you explain that? So he says, Aindram iti adav karika. You know, the fourth verse is explained as follows. Indrastu na ati kauvidya matsaracha uktavan idam tasmat krishnasya no tattad rupatvam ghatate kvachit. So he says, Indrastu, Indra, na ati kauvidya. His first argument he says is, is Indra intelligent or Narada Muni intelligent? Indra is not intelligent. Narada Muni is only intelligent. Okay. And moreover, Matsarat, he was envious of Krishna at that time. So out of Uktavanidam, out of envy, he spoke like this. Okay. So an unintelligent person speaking out of envy, his statement cannot be taken as authoritative. That is the argument of that is why the statement made by Indra in Harivamsha Puran, it is a much weaker state in comparison to the statement spoken by Narada Muni, because Narada Muni is considered to be more intelligent and Narada Muni is speaking not out of envy but out of genuine devotion for Krishna. So therefore, these two contradictory statements from Harivamsha Puran can be resolved by indicating that how the speaker of the one statement, he is less intelligent and he is speaking out of envy. So therefore, that statement becomes very weak in comparison to Narada, who is considered to be very intelligent and speaking with devotion. Tasmat, therefore, Krishnasya kvachit na tattad rupatvam ghatate. Therefore, Krishna never takes the position of being an avatar of these forms. Krishna never becomes the avatar of these forms. Never. So, here he says, Srila Baldev Devotion writes, the Kenunishad says that Indra, Agni and Vayu know about Brahman. So, why was Indra ignorant in this case? So, they say that Indra knows, the Shastras say that Indra knows who is the Supreme Lord. Why in this case he is speaking like without knowledge? So he says, his knowledge became covered for the purpose of the Lord's pastimes. He became envious of Krishna's superior position. So his knowledge became covered to aid the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, he became envious of Krishna's position. Thus, in conclusion, Krishna never becomes the Amshas of Narayana or Vamana. This is the argument. Okay. So, this is one of the Purvapaksha argument which is refuted. Anyways, so before I go to the next discussion, because I may keep on talking, we may run out of time. Because I can anyway not complete discussing this whole thing. So what I would do is, I would pause now to see if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as add. And subsequently, if after that, I will again continue the next argument. How Krishna, okay, you have established Krishna to be superior to Naranarayana and Vamana. That is okay. But Krishna may not be superior to the other Paravastha forms. Paravastha forms means, of the avatars, there are three who are said to be Paravastha. Narasimha, Rama and Krishna. So these Paravastha forms are said to be superior to the ordinary. They are said to be, superior to the ordinary Leela avatars. Okay. So the Paravastas, they hold a special position. So now, the superiority of Krishna to the ordinary avatars has been established. So now the superiority of Krishna to the other two Paravastha forms. How can you say Krishna is superior to Narasimha and Rama also? That has to be established. So before we get into that, we will first take some questions, if there are any, of this first section. Yes, Mother Gail. Mother Gail, you can unmute yourself and please speak. So I will only unmute whoever raises their hands. There need not be multiple unmutings. Because if I unmute, someone else may mute. Mother Gail, would you like to unmute?
Yeah,
go ahead, Mother.
Okay, yeah, sorry, a call came in. I was trying to get rid of it. One thing is what? Oh, yeah. How is it that bona fide sampradayas can be in contradiction with each other? How is that possible?
Well, these explanations, actually, in one sense, I will just unmute. I'll just mute a while because I am hearing my own voice in the background, and I'll mute you. I unmute you again. So, actually, Krishna, even though Krishna is absolute, but not all levels of reality is revealed to everyone, actually, because yadyad diyata urugaya vibhavayanti tattad vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. So whatever form of the Lord one gets attracted to, he will have ample reasons to see that form of the Lord as the topmost form. Okay. So those sampradayas who see Lord Narayana, of course, we don't know these arguments which is establishing Krishna to be avatara of ordinary, Leela avataras. I don't know if it is argument of bona fide Vaishnava sampradaya, but certainly the final argument that Krishna is an avatara of Lord Narayana of the spiritual world, that argument is definitely of bona fide sampradayas. Such understanding is revealed by Krishna only to them, because they are attracted to the form of Lord Narayana, and they are attracted to the mood of worshiping with awe and reverence. Okay, so therefore, if they very clearly understand that Krishna is superior to them, but at the same time they are attracted to the form of Lord Narayana, there will be a lot of kind of tension, right? So Krishna, when someone is inclined to worship a demigod, Krishna does not reveal his superiority to the demigod worshipper. He makes the faith of that demigod worshipper stronger in that demigod, because Krishna does not want to force anyone to worship him. So similarly, when someone is attracted to an amsha of Krishna, an expansion of Krishna, Krishna does not reveal his superiority to that person, then that person will be very much in, like we see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's situation, that when he was trying to force, not exactly force, but as a pastime, suggest to the brother of Rup Sanatan, you know, Anupam or Sri Vallabh, to worship Krishna, he could not. Murari Gupta could not, right? So therefore, it creates a kind of tension. So naturally, Krishna reveals that. So therefore, if you see the Sri Vaishnavas, they are not aware of the existence of Goloka Vrindavan above Vaikuntha only. They are not aware of that. That aspect is not revealed to them. So they see Krishna as an expansion of Narayana, which is not a serious problem, because only if they see that, then they will be able to worship Narayana. So therefore, this is Krishna's mood. So in one sense, this is not a serious deviation, because to worship Krishna, one has to have a very sweet mood, sweet familiar mood to worship Krishna. And if one is not ready to worship Krishna, the form of Krishna, and in the mood of sweetness, then to such people, naturally through, there will be statements from the Shastras in which the secondary meaning will be revealed to them, like that. Is that relevant, Mother Gail?
I'm just thinking that it almost seems that whatever a jiva is inclined to believe, Krishna will reveal that much information or knowledge
protect his faith. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so then how can any sect
claim superiority?
Exactly.
Well, if there is someone who wishes to worship the supermost, okay, so then one has to define what is supermost, right? Because they will have their own definitions, right? So if you define supermost to be sweetest, okay, then Krishna will be revealed to be the supermost, you know, through statements supporting that. So if your definition of supermost is most powerful, commanding all awe and reverence, then according to your definition of supermost, Lord Narayana will be shown to be the supermost, and the scriptural statements supporting that are meanings of scriptural statements which will establish that conclusion will be revealed to you. So ultimately, you should be comfortable worshipping. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his book, I guess it is either Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita or Bhakti, and one of these two books, he tells that Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he says that he is worshipped in two moods, the mood of awe and reverence and the mood of sweetness. And he says that for worshipping in the mood of sweetness, the form of Krishna is the topmost. And for worshipping in the mood of awe and reverence, the form of Narayana is the topmost. Like that he says. So it depends on one's mood. That form will be revealed to be the greatest. And the scriptural statements will accordingly give a meaning which will support that.
I just have one other question, but it goes all the way back to the beginning of your talk. Okay.
You want me to go to that slide? Early slide?
I don't really look at the slides. I can't look at the slides.
Okay, you tell me what is the question, Manu?
Yes, it was about the... remember when you were talking about the Vedas, or I guess Krishna in the form of the Vedas controlled the jivas, and he makes the jivas as a fuzzy kind of enjoyer in the form of the varnashrams, you know.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. What I mentioned was when the jiva has turned his face away from Krishna, he has only one identity, which is, I am the enjoyer, separate from Krishna. That is his only false ego, you know. But Krishna says, but that is a very fuzzy false ego, in the sense that you cannot catch that jiva and reform that jiva. So the Lord says, through the Vedas, the Lord says, yes, I agree you are the enjoyer. But you have an identity as an enjoyer. What is your identity? You are a Brahmana and you are a Brahmachari. So you enjoy as a Brahmana and a Brahmachari. So the living entity accepts, this is also false identity only, but connected to this false identity are some rules and regulations and duties which have the capacity to purify that person. So from a kind of fuzzy false ego, the scriptures give him a very concrete false ego in the form of, you are a Brahmana, you are a Brahmachari, like that. So if you are a Brahmana, if you are a Brahmana enjoyer and a Brahmachari enjoyer, along with enjoying as a Brahmana and a Brahmachari, you also have duties as a Brahmana and a Brahmachari. So there is responsibility, there is enjoyment. So you enjoy, no problem, but fulfill your responsibility. But connected to those responsibilities in the form of duties is purification of heart. So gradually his enjoying tendency gets purified and eventually his false ego only dissolves by that. So the scriptures, actually the living entity who has turned his face away from Krishna and come to this material world, he has a very fuzzy false ego, but the scriptures give him a very concrete ego by which he can be reformed. Does it make sense, Madhuri?
So the fuzziness is when the false ego just thinks, okay, I'm not looking at Krishna. I don't acknowledge Krishna. That's the fuzziness. Yeah. So to make it concrete, Krishna says, you have to fall into one of these categories and follow the prescribed.
Yeah. So he says, you are not just an enjoyer, but you are an enjoyer as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, like that. So which means, if you say my only identity is as an enjoyer, then what I will do is I will only enjoy. But if you are a Brahmana enjoyer, then enjoy as a Brahmana, but you should also perform the duties of a Brahmana. You should also perform the occupational duties of a Brahmana. you should perform the sacrifices of a Brahmana. And hidden in these occupational duties and sacrifices of a Brahmana is the antidote for all the impurities that is there in the heart. It will, so that will act as a purification and purifies false ego.
So, you know, that that sounds as though if one were to follow his prescribed duties, then automatically and eventually a person would at the very least get liberation from this material world.
Yes.
So so the only reason why that doesn't happen is because eventually people fall away from their prescribed duties, right?
Yeah, if they give up their prescribed duties, then they cannot get liberated.
I mean, besides getting liberation, you know, if a person were to follow their prescribed duties and do so at least somewhat consistently, would they be able to go back to Godhead or just attain, impersonal liberation?
Well, it depends on, along with practicing their prescribed duties, how much devotional attitude and devotional activities also they do. So if the devotion is very, very meager, then they will go to the impersonal Brahmati. But if the devotional component becomes tangible, then they can go to the spiritual world. Even though it may not be devotion, even if it may be mixed, but mixed with very little of karma, jnana or yoga, but still they can go to Vaikuntha. Of course, they cannot experience prema there, but still they can go to Vaikuntha.
Okay, Guru, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Okay, there are two more hands up. Anuradha Mataji raised her hands first. Go ahead, Mataji.
Hi, Krishna Prabhuji. Dhanavat Pranam. Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu, I have a very basic question. When you were explaining, you said that Krishna doesn't want to force the love, right? And that is very basic in us. Love cannot be forced. So with that, how do we understand when, you know, like they say, and we have heard it many times that when Krishna gives us what we need and not what we want. So when we see that in devotee's life, so many trouble comes, we hear that Krishna is bringing us close to him. And so how do we reconcile? Did you get my question, Prabhu? I don't know.
Your question, Mataji.
Yes.
I think I got your question.
Yeah.
So let me rephrase your question and you can let me know if I have understood your question right or wrong.
Yes.
So I said that Krishna does not breach the free will of the devotee, of free will of any entity. So here, but we also say that Krishna does not give you what you want. Krishna does not give a devotee what he wants, but he gives the devotee what he needs. So this seems like a contradiction. On one side, you say Krishna does not force anything upon the jiva. But on the other hand, you are telling that Krishna gives you, he does not give the devotee what he wants. He gives the devotee what he needs. Is that right?
Yes, Prabhu. Side we are saying, in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says that make your faith strong if you want to worship the demigods. And then for devotee's life, sometimes it gets so miserable. And then, to keep the faith going on. You got it, Prabhu. Yeah, please answer that.
Yeah. So now, let me give you an example. If you enroll yourself in a gymnasium, voluntarily, and you hand over yourself to the gym trainer. So, and then you are only paying the gym trainer, but then when the gym trainer puts you into some task, you know, to build muscles or whatever. So at some point you say, no, I think I'll stop now. I'm tired. The gym trainer says, no, keep running, keep running, keep running. So you see, breaching your free will. So now, on one hand, you have, you know, you say that, you know, I want to lose 10 kilograms in 2 months. Do whatever is necessary. You have already told this to the gym trainer. And on top of that, if you keep telling him that, no, no, I will not run any further, he will say, no, no, you have to run. So which instruction he should take? Your first instruction, that, you know, I wish to lose 10 kilograms in 2 months, or you want to stop running right now. So which of the instruction to the gym trainer takes the higher hierarchy?
The first one.
So the first one, right? So similarly, when you have told Krishna, Krishna, I want to surrender unto you. And then when Krishna is making an arrangement for to facilitate your surrender to him properly and completely, in between you say, change the plan, Krishna may not change. So that is not breach of free will. Because if he keeps changing it, then your original request to Krishna that, you know, Krishna, please make me surrender to you completely and fully, you know, that will be breached. So does it make sense, Mataji?
Completely, bro. Thank you so much. I mean, it gets little difficult, very difficult at time. So, but
I know, I can understand that. Yeah, yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Thank you so much, bro. Dandavat Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Induleka, Mataji?
Hi, Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Dandavat, Mataji. Yeah, I can hear you.
So, Prabhuji, my question was, so as you were explaining about the position of the Supreme Lord as, I mean, either Krishna or Narayana, based on sweetness or whether we look at him in awe and reverence, I was wondering, that is based on the mood of the devotee, right, Prabhuji? How about when we start thinking of what is the source of everything? So in that case, would there be two answers, or would the Gaudiya Vaishnava consume in these positions?
Well, if one is not at all predisposed to any particular mood of worship, whether it is on reverence or sweetness, there is no predisposition, but the only desire is to know who is the source of everyone, I would like to worship that person, then he would be directed to worship Krishna only. Does it make sense, Mataji? Is
yes,
that okay?
That's what we normally say based on our philosophy. I was just wondering if if the other Vaishnava philosophy.
Yeah, I'm not relativizing everything, because if you say that, you know, I'm not relativizing everything. There is certainly an absolute sense in which it is true also, but if hypothetically that is the case, you know, where he has absolutely no predisposition, he wants to just worship the top. That is, in one sense, like, of course, that is not so. Gopakumar's journey, Gopakumar does have a predisposition because he is originally a Vrajavasi. But still, you know, he finds out that, you know, Goloka Vrindavan is the topmost, like that. Yes, Mother Gail.
Thank you so
much. Yeah. Yeah, originally I was just going to follow up on Anuradha Mataji's question, but now I need to follow up on this one, which is, you know, how do we say that you are not biased in saying that a person will figure out that it's Krishna only, in an absolute sense, who is the top most?
Well, in one sense, this can be resolved if you accept the arguments presented in Laghu Bhagavata Amrita. So Laghu Bhagavata Amrita very clearly presents from a very neutral perspective the superiority of Krishna.
Okay, then I guess.
So now the onus is on the other sampradayas to accept these refutations and see if they can establish their their position, which they will be able to, because somehow Krishna will allow them to protect their faith. So we have to understand Krishna's mood here, actually. We have to understand Krishna's mood here. So Krishna wants, Krishna as Narayana wants people to worship him in the form of Narayana, in the mood of awe and reverence also. Krishna as Krishna wants people to worship him in the mood of sweetness also. Krishna as Vamana wants his devotees to worship him as Vamana in whatever mode, awe and reverence. So like that, Krishna wants all. So all kinds of worshippers. So looking at their predispositions, he will sort of strengthen their faith accordingly. So you may say that, okay, how do you know that your presentation is right? Well, in one sense, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has had discussions with the Sri Vaishnavas also, like Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and he has had discussions with the Madhvaites also, and through his discussions he has established the superiority of Krishna also. So, and if you see, there are very tangible arguments and presentations in Laghu Bhagavata Amrita that is presented from various shastras. From that you can understand.
Well, then maybe since Krishna wants these relationships and all these different moods, maybe it's not even important to
establish. That is the perfect understanding. It is not important, actually. It is not important, because ultimately the mood is not that, it is. So we are not playing musical chairs here. You are aware of musical chair, Madhuri?
Yes.
Yeah. So here Krishna is not trying to play musical chairs. Eliminate Vamana, eliminate Naranarayan Rishi, eliminate Narayana, eliminate Vishnu. He's not trying to do that. This is not a musical chair. So Krishna wants everyone who, there is as many people are there, as many chairs are there, and Krishna wants everyone to sit only in the chair of their choice. So there is no question of this kind of debate, actually. This is in one sense a redundant debate, actually. It's not a very important debate. We think that we want to establish, even though Rupa Goswami has written a book in this way, but this is just to strengthen the faith of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, just in case they may encounter other Sampradaya people who may try to have their faith. Only for that purpose he has written this book. That's all. He is not hell bent on going on a Digvijay Yatra, where I will defeat all the other Vaishnava Sampradayas and establish how only Krishna be worshipped. No, that has never been the case, and that will not be the case, actually.
Okay, cool. And can I just also follow up on Anuradha Manaji's question, where you were giving the analogy of the gym trainer? And so, speaking from the perspective of a struggling sadhaka who's always fluctuating between, Krishna conscious values and swabhava right? So, okay, I might speak with my mouth that I am, or tell Krishna with my lips that I am wanting to come to the point of full surrender. But then on the other hand, I am also, falling prey to my material desires, right?
And why do you say falling? Before you continue, I'm telling you, why do you say falling prey, Mataji?
Or succumbing, right? Succumbing to...
Did you say succumbing or falling prey? Why? I'm just trying to understand the rationale behind the choice of your words.
I know what you're trying to come to. Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. I guess you're answering my question.
Got your answer, Namati.
Mm-hmm. I think
okay.
So.
Arish.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Arish. Okay, there are some questions in the chat box also. Okay. Jyoti Mataji asks, what is spiritual envy? Of course, here in Indra's case, it is not spiritual envy. It is material envy only because, you know that knowledge is not really realized knowledge. He is not a pure devotee, Indra. So that is not exactly spiritual envy. But what is envy, we can discuss. That's a whole different topic of discussion that we will do later because it's not very directly connected to the topic on hand right now. Okay. So then, purification of false ego means establishing oneself as servant kind of attitude, and Shraddha towards Krishna is undivided. Is my understanding correct? Yeah, that's the complete purification of false ego. Yeah, I agree. Okay, Vamshi Dhari Gopal Prabhu says, are Vishnu Dutas jivas who get Sarupya Mukti? Who are the Yamadutas then? Are they jivas who are supposed to help? Why they did not know the position of Yamaraj? Okay. So are Vishnu Dutas jivas who get Sarupya Mukti possible? Maybe. Whether they are Nitya Siddhas, Sadhana Siddhas, either could be possible. I have no idea. But they are certainly qualified people staying there. They are Siddhas, but whether what kind of Siddhas are they? Sadhana Siddhas or Nitya Siddhas? I am not aware. Probably both. They could be one of them also. Who are the Yamadutas? Are they jivas supposed to go to hell? I am not aware. I don't know. They are jivas, that much I know. What is their qualification? Are they supposed to go to hell? Just like, you know, there are prisoners, and some of the prisoners are roped in to control the other prisoners. So is it like that, you know, these Yamadutas themselves are supposed to suffer in hell and Yamaraj has roped them to engage them in the role of Yamadutas? I don't know. So I am not aware. I have not read about it anywhere. So I cannot answer that question. I'm sorry. Okay. So, I'm glad I took some Q&A now. Let me quickly go to the next position. I have to skip a lot of section. And because the next section is a little interesting. Okay. So in the next section, he first describes what are these paravastha forms. So we saw there are ordinary avataras, lila avataras. And then there are, amongst the lila avataras, there are three which are called paravastha because they exhibit exceptional qualities and power. So they are Krishna, Narasimha and Rama. So of the avataras, these three are called as paravastha forms. Paravastha forms. Okay. So he says, Srila Rupa Goswami here, he says, Ata paravastaha yata padme Narasimha Rama Krishneshu shagunyam paripuritam paravastastu te tasya deepad utpanna deepavat. So he says, there are the six qualities paripuritam, are fully manifest in Narasimha, Rama and Krishna. So Aishwarya, the six qualities, you know, right? So those six qualities there are fully manifest in Narasimha, Rama and Krishna. So in that sense, they are equal. Paravastastute, thus they are considered to be paravastha. Okay. Tasya deepad utpanna deepavat. The relation between the other two, Narasimha and Rama and Krishna, is like lamps lit from the lamp of full six powers. You know, as we say, deepar shireva hidashantaram abhyupetya deepayate vivrita hetu samana dharma. So that Brahma Samhita verse says that, you know, even though when one lamp lights the other lamp, the lamp which is lit or the multiple lamps which are lit from the original lamp, they also shine with the same luminosity. But still, there is one original lamp. That original lamp is Govinda, like that he says. So similarly, he says, even though there are three Paravastha forms, Krishna's form is original, and Narasimha and Rama, even though they may exhibit the same power, but it is they are not original, like that. So then he explains this Narasimha, Raghavendra and Lord Ramachandra and Krishna. So he says that I will skip these sections. So he then establishes Krishna's supremacy over the other other forms. So here he says, how is Krishna superior to Rama and Narasimha? He says, so he quotes from Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He says, Santu avatara bahavaha pushkaranabhasya sarvato badraha Krishna danyaha kova latasu api premado bhavati. Says that santu avatara bahavaha. There may be many avataras. I'm sorry. Just give me a second. This thing crashed. Okay, I may have to, because of lack of time, I may have to now actually do a quick recap of this section. So, of this, how Srila Rupa Goswami establishes the superiority of Krishna over Narasimha and Rama. Okay, so one argument that he gives is that I will not go over the individual verses. I'm sorry. I think I have not shared the screen. Let me share the screen. So I will not go over the individual verses. I will do a very quick summary so that we will get at least 5 minutes for submission. Okay. So he says that if you see, only in Krishnavatara, even the creepers and trees, they have prema. That intense prema is seen only in Krishnavatara. So, and then he gives the example that when Lord Rama leaves Adya, when he is thrown out of Ayodhya by Mother Kaikeyi, at that time, actually the trees and creepers of Ayodhya, they cry. Okay, they exhibit some feelings of separation. It is there in Ramayana. But in terms of Krishna, even when Krishna is there, the extent of prema that is exhibited by the creepers and trees is actually unimaginable. So this shows by manifesting such intense feelings of love, even in trees and creepers. So but that is one of the reasons why Srila Rupa Goswami is mentioning that Krishna's form is superior to Lord Rama and Narasimha. Okay. So I will not go over the verses. You know, I will share the slides with you. You can go over them. So, and then the next argument that he gives is that it was mentioned that the Paravastha forms have all six qualities in full. So if they have full six qualities in full, then how can Krishna be superior? So he says, let us in order to establish this, we will present a discussion between Maitreya and Parashara Muni from Vishnu Puran. Okay, I am just going to summarize the whole thing. So there is a discussion between Maitreya and Parashara Muni in Vishnu Puran. So Maitreya actually asks Parashara Muni that tell me one thing. The same soul appeared as Hiranyakashipu, Ravana and Shishupal, right? But when he appeared as Hiranyakashipu and he was killed by Narasimha, he did not attain liberation. Even though he got lot of opulence and lot of power and he took birth as Ravana. But as Ravana, when he was killed by Lord Rama, he did not achieve liberation. But he got a very superior birth of the king of Chedi, which is Shishupal. But when Shishupal was killed by Krishna, he attained liberation. How is this possible? Okay, so this is the question asked. There is a very long discussion about this, but in essence, he concludes, Srila Parashara Muni, he says that look, one needs a very strong level of absorption in the supreme form of the Lord, with a very clear-cut understanding that this is the supreme personality of Godhead. So when the demon who is killed by any form of the Lord, when he has intense absorption on the form of the Lord and the name of the Lord, then that intense absorption in the form and name is capable of creating the qualification to give liberation. So he says, neither is the form of Lord Rama or Narasimha and nor their names are capable of generating that level of absorption which is capable of giving liberation to demons. Therefore, only when Krishna kills the demons, because Krishna's form is so attractive, the demons who are killed by Krishna cannot think of anything else but the form of Krishna. They get absorbed in the form of Krishna. And the names of Krishna are much more potent than the names of any other forms. Okay. So therefore, when Krishna killed Shishupal, Shishupal attained liberation. So this is mentioned to be vastu vishesh, the superiority of the object of meditation, right? So the forms of Narasimha, Rama, what to speak of the other Leela Avataras, they do not have the capacity to generate so much absorption that the demons who are killed by them can achieve liberation. Okay. Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says of the 60 qualities, one of the quality which is there in all the avatars of the Lord is hatari gatidayakatvam. When they kill a demon, the demon gets a better destination than what they deserve. Okay. But only when Krishna kills them, they attain liberation. But when others kill, they may get a better destination, but within the material world only. They will not attain liberation. Because that form, in that form, Krishna does not exhibit full potency. Okay. This is in essence, what is described. I will not go into the details. Okay. Because you don't have time. I will share the slides with you. Maybe some other day we will go a little bit more into detail into this. Okay. So the form of Krishna, the names of Krishna. Okay. So therefore, here, Srila Sanatana Goswami says, he says that though his utterance of Krishna's name and meditation on his form was done with hatred, he's talking about Shishupal, he became freed of fault just as being touched by the Lord when he was killed. Okay, like that. So, therefore, here he says, Shishupal was liberated by the attractiveness of Krishna because of his fully manifested qualities. Because Narasimha and Rama did not manifest all those qualities, they did not liberate him even though they killed him. Okay. So now, you all may say, foul, foul, foul. You know, you are giving undue credit to Krishna. Why? Because Jaya and Vijaya were cursed to be delivered only after 3 demoniac births. Why give the credit to Krishna then? Yeah. So you may say that if the order was changed, first Krishna appeared and killed Shishupal, and second Narasimha appeared and killed Hiranyakashipu, and third Lord Ramachandra appeared and killed Ravana, then Ravana would have attained liberation. 3 births was what was the deal. So therefore, you are giving undue credit to Krishna. When how many of you have this question? You can please raise your hands. How many of you, when this explanation was given, how many of you had this question? Right? At least few have raised your hands. Few more are raising their hands. Right? So, okay. So, yeah. So now, here, this is a very important point that is being made here. Please be a little attentive. In the Vishnu Puran, Parashar does not mention that Jaya and Vijaya were associates of the Lord from Vaikuntha, but simply took 3 births to attain the Lord. Okay. So now, the conversation is not between 2 ordinary devotees, right? Like you and me. This is between Parashar Muni and Maitreya, legends. Didn't they know that Jaya and Vijaya were cursed to go back in 3 births? So won't it make very... So why would Maitreya get this question at all? That why only Shishupal got... Well, he might have told, yeah, that was the part of the curse. After 3 births, he was supposed to go back. But Maitreya still asked, why did only Shishupal attain liberation? And interestingly, in answering this, Maitreya glorifies Krishna and establishes his form and name to be much more superior and having the capacity to give that level of absorption which can give liberation. And he could have just told, oh, that was the curse. Why didn't he say that? Okay. So, therefore he says, Ataha. This is a very important verse. Hear carefully. Ataha sarveshu kalpeshu na tau parshadajau matau anyata na tayoho pataha pratikalpam samanjasaha. Thus, one should not think that in all kalpas, the associates of the Lord fall from Vaikuntha and become Hiranyakashipu. If they were always associates, it would not be proper to have them fall in every kalpa. Because Krishna, Narasimha and Rama, all 3 of them are Kalpavatas. Every day of Brahma, they manifest. So that does not mean every day of Brahma, Jaya and Vijaya will fall down and take 3 births. This is not true. In one of the Kalpas, it happened. Or maybe in some Kalpas, it may happen. But it does not happen in every Kalpa. In every Kalpa, Jaya and Vijaya does not become Ravana, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, and Shishupal and Dantavakra. This is not true. Okay. So here, Srila Baldadya Bhushan clarifies. In the Vishnu Puran, Parashar says that the 2 took 3 births without mentioning that they were previously associates of Lord in Vaikuntha. He could have told that, but he does not say that. Why? Thus, he does not consider that in every Kalpa or every day of Brahma, Jaya and Vijaya become demons in the material world. It would not be proper to say that being eternal associates of the Lord, they fall in every kalpa from Vaikuntha. So every kalpa, the eternal associates, why should they fall to this material world like that? So therefore he says, if one accepts the kalpavataras appear in every kalpa and fight with Jaya and Vijaya, who fall from Vaikuntha to perform fighting pastimes of the Lord, this would contradict the Lord's statements of affection for his devotee and statements concerning never returning from Vaikuntha. Yad gatvana nivartante taddama paramam mama. But here you see Jaya and Vijaya, every day of Brahma they are falling down and taking back births 3 times. This cannot be true. Therefore, Srila Baldadya Bhushan says, thus in every kalpa, the Lord performs fighting pastimes with real demons and not Jaya and Vijaya. They are falling into the material world from Vaikuntha by the Lord's will alone is an occasional occurrence. It is just an occasional occurrence, and it does not happen on every day of Brahma. Okay. And then he gives further proofs to establish how only Krishna liberates the demons. But this does not mean only Krishna gives liberation. That's not what he is telling. So all the forms of the Lord are Sharanya Mukunda. Sharanya Mukunda means those who can give liberation to those who take share of them. Sharanya Mukunda. But only Krishna can give liberation even to enemies who are Jnaka. Okay, and he gives many proofs. I will not get into the details because we are woefully running short of time. So, yeah. So, therefore, he establishes Tasmat Trayanam Eva Ayam Sreshta Iti Atra Vismayaha Kova Syat Natata Yasmat Svabhavo Anyatra Drishyate. So, he says, therefore, of the three forms of Narasimha, Rama and Krishna, Krishna is the best. This is not astonishing because the nature revealed in Krishna is not seen in the others. You know, the qualities in Krishna is not seen in others. I think, you know, I will stop here and see if there are any quick discussion points or questions, because there is no end to it. You know, we can keep on going. So if there are maybe some other day, you know, we can, when the right opportunity comes, maybe I will take this part by part, you know, because it was over ambitious on my part to actually, you know, even attempt to do such a thing, because it is, you cannot do proper justice at all. So anyway, maybe some other time, but right now we will take some quick questions if there are any. Praladanand.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji. This falling of Jaya and Vijaya is very intriguing, because, you know, I also hear that in case of Bali Maharaj Prasang, when Narasimha Bhagavan Vaman Bhagavan was, you know, defending, there is a mention of Jaya Vijaya there, that they were also protecting him.
And yes. You know what is the explanation that is given? Srila Chakradhakur does explain it. Sri Vishnu Chakradhakur says that Jaya and Vijaya also did not fall down. Their expansions only came down. But originally Jaya and Vijaya were there. I mean, I'm very surprised that you noticed it, actually. You know, because I never noticed it until I read, you know, the commentary. But then I thought, oh, yeah, how is it that Jaya Vijaya are mentioned here? So the explanation that Vishnu Chakradhakur gives is, just because Jaya and Vijaya asked, Krishna would not deprive Jaya and Vijaya of his own association in Vaikuntha. So he allowed an expansion of Jaya and Vijaya to go and take these three births. But Jaya and Vijaya in their original forms, they remained in Vaikuntha as doorkeepers. That is the explanation that is given.
So that support, that Taddham Paramam Mama, nobody
hit
it. Yeah. Dhanvat Pranam Prabhu. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, Dhanvat Prabhu. Thank you. Sukakar Krishna Prabhu.
Jain, Dhanvat Pranam Prabhu. So now your class is so exhaustive. We really go deep and deep and deep, and we go into the inside the ocean. And we don't feel like coming out. When you're really stopping, I feel why the glass got stopped. Okay, thank you. So wonderful. So this Jaya and Vijaya, three times they came, and then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, they came as Jagai Madha. No? That was just on their own, like a friend they brought him, like that. Was it?
Yeah,
what is it?
Yeah. Another expansion of Jaya and Vijaya, they came and they acted as, as Jagai Madai, and then they attained perfection like that.
So my question is, there are many devotees who are doing 30-40 years in ISKCON, but they say that we are really afraid of the miserable material world. That way we want to go back home, back to about it, so that no more birth, death, old age, disease. But actually the real love for Krishna, truthfully, it is not there as we have for our son and daughter and grandson. We know that this is the material world. It's only this life, this son, last life, some other sons. But that Krishna is not like a father who has gone to office, a newborn child. From the office, you'll ask 100 times, how is the child? Has he got up? What did he drink? Because that bodily connection. But with Krishna, we have not seen him. We have not been dealing with him. It's only through Katha we are listening. So that attachment is not there. That 24 hours we are remembering him. That's not coming. So what is the answer should I give?
It will gradually come, Prabhu, because there is thick layer of conditioning which is, both anartha nivritti has to happen and artha pravritti has to happen. Our material material vasanas, material ego has to dissolve, and then the spiritual vasanas have to develop and the spiritual ego has to blossom. So it is hiding there inside. Just when the thick layer of conditioning dissolves, then gradually over a period of time, it will manifest through sincere practice of Krishna consciousness.
There are many devotees now, they went to Vrindavan for all this Kartik Mena. They hear about Radha Bhav and Radha this one. So sometimes Prabhupada said, don't go so much into Radha Bhav. But some are really truthfully, they are hearing more. So I wonder on that angle also, is it right to, because once you go to Vrindavan, there you can really get the Krishna Prem, what it is. What is the bhava of gopis and Krishna? And they say that the manjaris, they don't want even Krishna. They want to be just manjari of Radharani, and they want to serve Sita. Radharani is happy with Krishna. So they don't want to be like gopis. So is it required to go more on Radha Rasas and this one and also
that? It is required, but not prematurely. So definitely hearing those esoteric leela needs at least crossing the level of anartha nivritti and reaching nishta. So before that, hearing too much of that kind of esoteric leela will definitely not be useful actually.
Thank you, Arunya Prabhu. Fantastic. So nice, Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Alex,
thank you. Mother Gabe.
Hi, Krishna. I mean, this last section that you discussed about Jayanija, I definitely have to hear the recording. But can you repeat the point you were trying to make by saying that Jayanija, they don't come in every kalpa?
Yeah. Every kalpa, Narasimhadev kills Hiranyakashipu, Lord Rama kills Ravana, and Krishna kills Shishupal. But in every kalpa, it is not Jay and Vijay who take those the roles of those demons. In most of the kalpas, it is actually demons only. You know, they are not Jay and Vijay. So therefore, the reason why this thing this was mentioned was, you may say that, oh, why give credit to Krishna? Because after three births, anyway, Jay and Vijay were supposed to go back to the spiritual world. He says, no, Jay and Vijay do not come from the spiritual world in every kalpa of the Supreme, every kalpa of Brahma. Maybe it's just an occasional occurrence. Mostly it is regular demons only. So when they are killed by Krishna, they attain liberation. But when they are killed by any other form, they get a better destination like that.
So, I mean, is it correct to say that the demons of Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, and so on, are they like posts?
Not exactly like posts, but certainly there are particular prominent demons which the Lord comes and kills.
They get, we refer to them by the same names in every kalpa. So in that sense, I'm asking.
I won't say, yeah, a different jiva may take that role of Ravana and Hiranyakashipu like that, but I don't, I mean, but I am not very sure if you could call them posts, you know.
I don't want to give them such an exalted type of, you know, description, but it was just, I just meant that only, that, you know, these, they're demons,
yeah,
that are actually jivas, you know, ordinary jivas, but they're called by the same name.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
And so, oh my God, I had another question, but I forgot it. Okay, I have to skip it.
You can, while you remember, we will take another question.
Yeah.
Okay, there is another hand up, Bhakti Sangha.
Hare Krishna.
Coordinate.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yeah, this is Preeti Vilas.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, Prabhuji, the question, this is purely for argument's sake, nothing like I am not convinced or something. But my question, I'll try to phrase it as clear as possible. So when we talk about this point that the reason why Jaya Vijaya, when they were Sishupal and Dantavakra, they were liberated because purely because of the their absorption on the beauty of the Lord. So here we were giving credit to the beauty of Krishna and saying that Krishna surpasses the rest of them in terms of his beauty and his attractive qualities. And therefore, the two demons, they were so absorbed because of Krishna's beauty that they got liberated, right? So finally, I mean, they were like, they attained perfection and they went back. But my question is, why is the focus on Krishna's beauty or Krishna's form rather than the absorption of the demons? Why is the focus on his form? That is the question. Because we see the same thing happening with multiple demons. Even just if we hold on to Krishna's beauty itself, right? If we take out the other incarnations from the picture and just focus on Krishna, then we see that some demons were really absorbed. For example, the example given here is Sishupal. And maybe even Aghasura, because Prabhupada writes in the purport that he attained Sarupya, meaning he was so absorbed in that Leela while looking at Krishna that he attained Sarupya. But maybe Kamsa and so many others, though Krishna's form is so beautiful, still their absorption as such was not so intense. So they really did not attain a personal liberation, right? So why is the focus on beauty rather than the demon's absorption? That is the question. So how can we argue like this? Because there is no basis. Because there could be someone else. I mean, no basis is a very, sorry Prabhu for saying that, but there could be someone who's a demon who's very absorbed in Rama's beauty, and just because he's absorbed, he's getting liberated. So,
I understood your question, Mataji. This is a very hypothetical question, unless you present any proof for this, actually, that some demon got absorbed in the beauty of Lord Ram and actually attained liberation. That is, Srila Rupa Goswami says, there is no proof for that. And the second thing, Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu very clearly mentions that all the demons, as long as, you know, they are demoniacs, when they are killed by Krishna, they attain Sayujya Mukti only. And even those who seem to attain some Sarupya, he gives the example of Paundrak Vasudev in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Kechit prapyapi sarupya abhasam majjantihi tatsuke, he says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, some of them, like Paundrak Vasudev, may seem to attain a same form of the 400 form, but still, while staying in Vaikuntha, they will experience the bliss of Sayujya Mukti only. So therefore, there is no significant credit in one sense given to someone who may have attained the Sarupya, but our Rupa Goswami says, no, that is not Sarupya. That is Sarupya Abhas. So, Putana also, Mataji. Putana, she got the position of Dhatri But as a Dhatri, what kind of bliss that she experienced, Srila Rupa Goswami says, the bliss of Sayujya Mukti only.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this is there in the first 19 chapters only of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So where he, in the beginning of Raganuga Bhakti discussion, in that there is an elaborate discussion. If you go through the original text, you know, yad arinam cha priyanam cha prapyam eka ivoditam, yad brahma krishnayor aikyat purana arko, something like that. You know, there are a series of 3-4 verses where he very clearly establishes that, even though they may sometimes seem to say that they attained sarupya, but it is not sarupya. You know, that it's not sarupya, it is called as sarupya abhas. So the word that is used is sarupya abhas. Kechit prapyapi sarupya abhasam par majjanti hi tatsuke. But they are merged in the bliss of tad, there refers to Brahman, Brahma suke, like that. So even Putana, yes, she did get the role of a dhatri. Maybe along with the desire to give poison, she also tried to, she had a meager desire to give milk along with that poison. For that, she gets the form of a dhatri, but that does not mean that she experiences the bliss of being actually a dhatri of Goloka Vrindavan. That she does not get. Is that
correct, Prabhu. I mean, from the verse I get that, but I have a question just for clarification. Yeah. But when you talk about the bliss that she's getting is only Sayujya kind of a bliss, then Sayujya generally is just out of some sort of an appreciation, right? Like generally the neutral rasa, most people who attain Sayujya, some sort of an appreciation. So where is that appreciation? How can that appreciation mix so much with Vatsalya Rasa?
Well, it's not exactly Vatsalya Rasa.
Uh-huh.
Because Rasa can come only from pure devotional service. Because Putana did not have pure devotional service. You know, you cannot say a mother handles her child, a nurse handles her child. You cannot say that a nurse has Vatsalya Rasa. You know, has Vatsalya. So she may just be doing it as a duty. So therefore certainly just because she is Dhatri does not necessarily mean she has Vatsalya Rasa. Certainly she does not have Vatsalya Rasa.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for the very nice answers. Yeah, it's convincing. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay. There are two hands up, Mother Gail.
Yeah, actually, on this last point, I mean, it's a little bit shocking for me to hear that Putana was not a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan.
I mean,
that's a popular understanding.
I mean, I didn't say not in Goloka. She was a nurse, but I don't know exactly where. But certainly, she did not experience Vatsalya Rasa. That is for sure.
But you did say not in Goloka.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it was in Goloka. Maybe in some part of Vrindavan, maybe in some part of Vaikuntha, but certainly not Goloka Vrindavan. She did get form of a Dhatri or a nurse, but where exactly, I doubt if it was in Goloka. I have to find that out. But certainly she did not experience Vatsalya Rasa. That is for sure.
And also, how could a nurse in any part of Vaikuntha be in harmony with Sayujya Mukti, impersonal liberation?
When we say impersonal liberation, it just means experience of a bliss equivalent to impersonal liberation. Even though they are in a personal abode of the Lord, the bliss that they experience is equivalent to the bliss of impersonal liberation. So not literally like, they are like, it's not, their position itself is not like exactly merged in Brahma Jyoti, but the bliss that they That's why the word sukhe is used. Sukha means bliss. You know, the bliss that they experience is equivalent to the bliss of impersonal merging, the bliss of impersonal merging. But their position itself is not literally like, you know, merged in impersonal Brahma, like that.
So the Sayuja part refers to their level of bliss, but not bliss, to... Yeah. Not to the relationship that they're experiencing with Krishna.
I mean, there may be some kind of personal touch, but there is no experience of that relationship, you know. There is no want also of that.
A nurse would fall into this, a nurse, let's say, outside of Goloka, they would fall into that. I mean, if you're a nurse, you have a relationship.
I will have to check this, but see, not she. She might be a nurse, but I'm very sure how much she is personally nursing Krishna, because not all nurses need to, get an opportunity to personally nurse Krishna. You know, she might just be assisting other nurses who might be assisting Mother Yashoda in directly serving Krishna. It could be that way also.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Okay, we have some questions in the chat box. Some are really long questions. Okay. Can't they send their expansions to come in material world in every day of Brahma? Why would they do that? You know, they can, but they don't. That's the point, you know. Even the expansions would like to, experience sweet pastimes with the Supreme Lord. So they don't do it. Were Jakai and Madai not Jaya Vijaya? Yes, yeah, they were probably expansions of Jaya Vijaya. Okay, Lalitangi Radha Mataji is quoting. I think this is Srila Prabhupada's purport, or maybe it's from Krishna book. According to the opinion of authorities, Kamsa attained Sarupya Mukti after death. That is to say, he attained the same form as Narayana. Okay, so let me tell you something. In that same section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where Paundrak Vasudev or Shrigala Vasudev, it's mentioned to attain Sarupya Abhas. Prabhupada does not get into the details of it, calling it as Sarupya Abhas. He just says Sarupya Mukti. So many times that Sarupya Abhas is just translated as Sarupya Mukti. So I will try to just maybe check the other commentaries. You know, we do have Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanatha Chakradaku's commentaries. You know, I will try to find out whether if exactly attained Sarupya Mukti. I doubt he would have attained Sarupya Mukti, because that would make Krishna very, very lacking discrimination, actually. Now it's a long thing. I don't know if I'm going to read the whole thing, but I can check. Okay, let's see.
I think according to the opinion, that was more Lalitangi Mataji's comment to my statement that he attained.
Yeah,
it was not towards yours, Prabhu. It was towards my statement that he.
She was just giving reference to what you spoke.
Right, right, yeah, right. Yeah. It was just a correction for me.
Okay. One last question, Sukhakar Krishna Prabhu, and then we will end because I have another class now.
Hare Krishna, yes, Prabhu. You told about this Sayujya Moksha. Sayujya Moksha is not permanent. No, they will again fall down. They will not be able to remain a permanent Moksha. Sayujya.
We did discuss this in our previous class, Prabhu. This was the exact same point I discussed incidentally in the previous discussion. Actually, from Sayujya, they don't fall down. They fall from one step below Sayujya, which is called as the stage of being Jivan Mukta.
Oh.
And they fall down for particular reasons. If they give up that secondary practice of bhakti also, if they give up, then they fall down. But actually, they don't fall down from Brahma Jyoti, but one step below Brahma Jyoti, they can fall down.
Oh. And Prabhu, one more question is, you told that nurse, she will not get the Vatsalya Bhav. Actually, in the Damodar Leela, when Yashoda Maya was doing Manthan, Krishna got up and as a normal child, he said, "Dad, why are you doing that?" Actually, Krishna himself is there, and but still she's doing for Krishna. And then he's stopping that Manthan and telling, "Come, I want to drink milk." So at the time, before he started drinking milk, the milk comes out from his breast. So that's the real Vatsalya Bhav. But in the material world also, we'll see some mothers, when the child is there and the mother is working, so she's feeling that the breast milk is coming. So is it a reflection as the mother's feeling?
Yes. Yeah.
So that means that Putana wouldn't have all those things. She wouldn't have, she's just a nurse. She got that because of the blessing of Krishna. So it was that death.
Correct.
Thank you, Prabhu. Just a word. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will, maybe if I get an opportunity, if the topic is somewhat connected, maybe the later parts of Bhagavatamrita also, maybe part by part, little, maybe sometime we can take, you know, it's a useful discussion. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you all.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you again for coming on the call, Prabhu. And thank you for giving such a elaborative class. And thank you for answering so many questions of the devotees, Prabhu. Dear devotees, as Prabhu said, he has another class. So let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha Kalapta Rupesha Kripa Sanduve Vaja Patitanam Bhavanityo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ji Ki Jai Disgrace Balaram Shakti Prabhu Ji Ki Jai Suresh Srila Narottam Das Thakur Disappearance Day Ki Jai. Thank you all the dear devotees. Thank you for attending Srimad Bhagavatam class.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Gita Mataji. Thank you, Levanta Prabhu. Chakra Prabhu. Thank you. I think we'll end the class here. So shortly, in half an hour, about half an hour, chanting session will start. So please join if you can. Hari Bol. No Ranga. I think everybody's muted.